नमस्ते, सुस्वागतम एंड वेलकम टू वर्ड्स ऑफ विजडम ज्ञान गंगा ऑन आ विराट हिंदुस्तान संगम सोशल मीडिया चैनल्स एवरी संडे एट 8 PM. टुडे वी आर एट एपिसोड नंबर 209 एंड वी हैव अ वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग टॉपिक. द टॉपिक इज हैज मोदी गवर्नमेंट चाइना पॉलिसी फेल्ड. इफ सो व्हाई एंड व्हाट नाउ. And in the next 45 minutes, Dr. Subramaniam Swamy with our panel members will be discussing this very important topic. I would like to take this program ahead. And with this, it is over to Dr. Subramaniam Swamy.
Thank you very much, Jagdish. We are in a situation where we have to, or rather Modi has to decide whether there's going to be war between India and China, not started by India, but started by China, or are we going to have surrender? Because surrender means, putting up with what the Chinese have grabbed of Indian territory. Let me give you a background that in 1996, in which I was very much involved. That time the Prime Minister was Narasimha Rao. Narasimha Rao, as you know, was a great negotiator. And he finally got the President of China that time to come to India. And he then negotiated and came to a conclusion that we will draw a line of control, and neither side will cross that. But the territories on either side, except those specifically identified as such, will be taken as undecided, in the sense that, for instance, Aksai Chin is, is a part of Azad Kashmir, and a part of our Kashmir and part of Pakistan's Azad Kashmir. So that Azad Kashmir, which juts into Tibet, that had been taken over by China in 1958. So we don't accept China's claim that it belongs to them, and so therefore those are being treated as disputed. But there are areas like the whole of Ladakh, which is undisputed. And of course, Arunachal, because the Chinese pulled back after overrunning Arunachal in 1962, then they pulled back because they really can't sustain it there. And therefore, in Assam, there's no problem. Tejpur and all these other places are quite safe. So This agreement was based on the premise that there will be talks, and regular talks took place, maybe 100 talks, 100 times, 100 rounds, all that. But this was a difficult thing, but we had peace and quiet with the Chinese. And some areas where we were face to face, we said there'll be no weapons carried. So that's why in Galwan, they had to fight with stones and sticks and things like that, because there was a ban on using weapons or carrying weapons in that area. So all this was well set, and we were on the way. And then, of course, Narasimha Rao lost the election, and we couldn't proceed much further. So please understand that we have a territory which we have not been able to rescue. It's not only with China, but with Pakistan too. Pakistan, the whole of Kashmir belongs to India because the king delayed it. But in the end, he signed the instrument of accession. And the House of Commons of Britain says that those kings who signed the instrument of accession merging with India or Pakistan cannot review that matter. That's final. So Sardar Patel, by his whole great merit, single-handedly about 500 kingdoms were merged into India, and about 100 into Pakistan. So in that, the last to merge with India was Kashmir, and it is unconditional. It's in the British Parliament also. It's everywhere. It is clearly stated that if you sign the instrument of accession, you become irrevocably part of the country that you have merged with. So the dispute came because Pakistan illegally came, and then Jawaharlal Nehru went to Kashmir, and there he said, "I want this to be settled by the United Nations," and the United Nations has made it as a dispute, and it is remaining as a dispute. And Pakistan is an occupation of what they call as Azad Kashmir, or POK, Pakistan Occupied Kashmir. So the same way the Chinese have occupied it, but there's no United Nations or anything like that. The Chinese have occupied it, and we have not made an issue of it. So there are some items which from Jawaharlal Nehru's time is out there. So all these were considered together and said that we will settle each of them by negotiation. In the meantime, there'll be no war, because we are drawing a line and neither side will cross that. In 2020, April, the Chinese broke that. Their forces went across the line of actual control and took over some parts which were on the border with China, which is, you know, the Karakoram Pass is there. And just below that is a place called Depsang. So they started occupying Depsang. Then they were occupied, and next to Depsang was that hill that which where they had to throw stones and things like that. But again, the Chinese broke the law or broke the agreement. So we have been having this situation. But the difference is that the Prime Minister has maintained the Chinese came nowhere. In the case of Galwan, of course, he could not say that they are not there, but they played it down. And ultimately, Galwan was over. Now Galwan is totally with the Chinese, because having won it, got it with our 20 soldiers dead, the New York Times and the American press was putting out that the Chinese lost 100 soldiers, but we don't know. The Chinese only announced 4. But, you know, Chinese, you know, there's no such thing as truth in publications. So we don't know what, but everybody, the military I've spoken to, they say, no, much more than 20 people were killed, maybe 40. We don't know whether it's 100, but it's certainly 40 and so on. So what has happened is that Mr. Modi has been taking a stand that nobody came. Koi aaya nahi, koi gaya nahi. So it becomes very difficult to negotiate when you say that nobody has entered your territory. Then what are you negotiating about? Then this Jai Shankar, JNU product, he came up with the idea that we are negotiating about the line of actual control. The line of actual control is only, it's not even fully put on the map. It's just a 6-inch wide line. What is there to negotiate in that? So what is being done is that we are hiding the fact that the Chinese have been progressively capturing it. The most dangerous thing that they can capture next is, in the southern part, in areas where we have an airport, in one of the finest military airports we have in Chushul. And the Chinese are about to take that over. We have taken a mountain a peak called Kailash. Not compared, don't confuse that with Kailash and Mansarovar. This is another Kailash. It's called a Kailash range. It's not a Kailash hill or a mountain. It's was occupied by India. Then India voluntarily walked out of it. I still don't know whose bright idea it was, and the Chinese have occupied it. And I was told by officials that Mr. Foreign Secretary, Mr. Jaishankar, has said that this is done to create good faith with China. Now, I don't know what kind of people these are, that they want to create a good faith. Either you show toughness or you surrender. So today's issue situation, what I would like to say is that we are now in a situation where we are being increasingly informed by the Chinese that you are nobody. And you see how they are treating you on G20. Xi Jinping is not coming. Why? No explanation. He hasn't given any explanation. And when the BRICS meeting took place in South Africa, you found Modi going, while Xi Jinping is sitting in his sofa like a zamindar, and this man standing there with his hand folded. I don't know whether these photos have been brought to his notice, but why? What is it that you are going to get out of Xi Jinping? He's very clear. He has had Xi Jinping and Modi had 18 one-to-one meetings from 2014. First in Gujarat in Jula, then in ended with in Tamil Nadu in Mahabalipuram, and got nothing. There's no record of it. We don't know what they discussed. There's not a single piece of paper. So I think Xi Jinping came to the conclusion that this fellow is clueless about active politics or defense matters. So he decided to take the advantage, and he began in 2020 by occupying Daesang, and then slowly he's been increasing. Now they have put out a map saying this is our map, and they are actually in possession of whatever they have said in this map. I think Ramesh has a map on behind his desk, so maybe towards the end he can put that map on it. But it's come in the press also. There he is grinning away, and the fact of the matter is it looks like a bit of a joke, but you can see how far they have come into. They have not only come into Arunachal and parts of Ladakh, but they are now coming also into Uttarakhand and other places. So the Chinese have made it very clear. We want territory, we are hungry, and we are taking it over. There's only one way to deal with the Chinese now, and that is either to surrender, say, Baba, take whatever you want, and like Genghis Khan came and took what he wanted, or something like that, or go to war. If you are not in a position to go to war just now, then take your time, but at least declare that China is a renegade, is a rogue state, and we are going to break diplomatic relations. We have still not broken diplomatic relations with China, and we still continue to interact with them. Mr. Modi was pleaded with Xi Jinping for him to come Xi Jinping to come to our G20 meeting, but Xi Jinping doesn't even answer, and therefore we have, despite being the largest populated country in the world, and one of the three largest countries which have fertile land. In fact, our fertile land is almost equal to that of China. It's only less than America. So you will see now that the Chinese are going to nibble into Sikkim. They are going to soon nibble into Bhutan. And they have already taken, the map shows they have taken parts of Arunachal. So we are dealing with a country which is hungry for territory, and we are not in a position to do anything. So going back, we have not learnt any lessons from the past. From the day, the first day was when China, after giving an assurance that they will not touch Tibet was an independent country, It had negotiated a border with India. And yet, as soon as China got in 1949 a communist state, army was sent to Tibet. And the Tibetans came to Delhi to say, please help us in some way and, you know, fight them. We were in a position that time because, after all, they were most of our top military people were all post-World War II. They had great experience in the war. So, but we did not. We, in fact, said Tibet is a part of China. I mean, no, never in the history that it has been ever said that Tibet has been part of China, even if it was in and out of China in whatever capacity. But our nation has never regarded Tibet as a part of China. And we said it's a part of China. And we have announced it. It's in our maps. So what have you learned from that? That you thought the Indochini bye-bye. And they then gave you a knock and took over Tibet. And then later on, you find, without telling you, they have gone through Aksai Chin and taken over Aksai Chin because they want to build a road. The only way you can deal with the Chinese, according to me, is from a position of strength, which we were in the 90s, because the Chinese, the Mao Zedong's policies had ruined China's economy. They had to recover, and Deng Xiaoping was a very smart person. He knew the only way he could make progress is to get the Americans to subsidize their industrial development. And the Americans thought that if the Chinese are on our side, we can fight the Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union collapsed. There was no Soviet Union left. And so although the relationship between the Soviet Union and between the Russians and the Chinese had not, had become very sour, but still the American-Chinese relationship continued. And not only that, the raw the semi-processed goods of Taiwan, Japan, Korea, they all went to China and they were made into final products, and they were sold to the West. These markets were opened for the by the West for China. And what happened therefore is that what these Korea, Taiwan, and what was Japan, Philippines, all these were producing semi-processed goods. If they had completely processed it themselves, it would have been much more expensive and more difficult to sell it to America and Europe. So by using Chinese cheap labor, the product which the Americans built the factories in China, and those products then became went on for sale, and China's foreign exchange boomed, and then China soon became a great economic power. Now, having done that, they have turned their eyes on India, and they are in negotiations with China. And so what they are telling the Americans is, India is nothing, we can take care of it at any time. You and I are the only two powers of the world. Let us together sit down and decide. But the Americans have a problem because the Chinese are a communist country, and the Americans, all said and done, are ideologically built this way that they are not in a position to buckle to China or fall for China's schemes. So question basically now therefore comes, what is it that we are going to do? As I told you, number one, the Prime Minister has still not said koi aaya nahi, koi nahi. I mean, disowned the sentence, koi aaya nahi, koi gaya nahi. Still not disowned it. And that means he told a lie to the public, that koi aaya nahi. What do you mean koi gaya nahi? Yeah, they are coming and sitting in it. Sitting in your territory. The whole world is saying that. China is now saying it itself. China has also put out a map showing that they have, where they have entered into Indian territory. To go to Himachal, go to Uttarakhand, Ask the people, do you feel apprehensive about what the Chinese are doing at the border? They said, yes. They frequently come into in and go out, and we're worried that one day they will come and take it over. So people, our people are seeing it at the local level. So what do you mean, Koyayani? I think the country needs to ask the Prime Minister, please apologize and tell us that you got it wrong. Why did you get it wrong? In fact, the first time we got an indication was a lady, IFS officer, who found that the Chinese had entered into Debsan. And she sent a official note. And that official note was ignored. And it was leaked ultimately. And therefore, I was the first one to come out. And I was supposed to be a friend of China. Everybody was making big accusations. At least Amit Shah went around the whole country saying that Swami is a Chinese agent. But in fact, I was the first one. And I'm still the most vocal critic of the fact that the Chinese have betrayed us. They have taken our land and that we have succumbed to it. So I will say, first of all, let's ask this question. What is China's strategic plan? Now, the Chinese strategic plan is number one, to show that Indians are incapable of being of any use to any country at the strategic level globally. They can't do anything. They just go on, talk, and hold conferences. But that is what it says. The Indian leadership is weak. They showed it for Jawaharlal Nehru. They succeeded. Jawaharlal Nehru didn't live very long after that. And then, of course, you know the whole story that happened afterwards. The Chinese themselves had a lot of problems of the economy and so on. But the fact is, and then the Cultural Revolution destroyed the administration of China. So they, those are after 1962. But in 1962, we got a meeting after calling them Hindi Chini Bye Bye. And they made us look foolish all over the world. So I would say the first thing is the Chinese have now come to the conclusion that Mr. Modi is looking for atmospherics. Yeah, he just wants to be in international conferences, seen hugging people. And so we can do what we like with India. And they have done it. And we have told lies to cover up their perfidy in taking over our country. The second thing I would say is that, you know, the issue is why is it that we are not making an issue with Mr. Modi, public in general, asking him to explain, do you still maintain that there is koi aaya nahi, koi gaya nahi? Do you maintain that China has not occupied any inch of Indian territory? Today's interview of Jaishankar says the Chinese have occupied nothing. How can he say something like that on television? Of course, these Gungi Gudiyas who take his interview, they don't ask him these tough questions. But the fact of the matter is that they are now saying that the Chinese have not taken over any territory of India. Jaishankar couldn't have said it unless he was told to say it. Because we know how much strength he has in the party. He has zero strength in the party to say something on his own. So therefore, he has said what the Prime Minister wants him to say, and which is a lie, that the Chinese are not occupied any. So I would say the first thing is that the country must ask Modi, and wherever he goes, whichever meeting he addresses, and write him letters saying that, tell us, were you wrong when you said koi aaya nahi? And you still stick by it, or you change your mind and say, no, Chinese have occupied. And then please tell us how much they've occupied. I mean, this country, Jawaharlal Nehru gives away Kashmir and then allows the Chinese to bite pieces of India away. And then this man does the same thing. He has 18 one-to-one meetings in fancy dress and, you know, in fancy places. And in the end, you find that the Chinese have made a fool of you. So where is the Where does the Mr. Modi apologize for what he has done? There's an election coming. How do you think the people are going to think highly of BJP, which has always shown itself to be a muscular party, and you suddenly find we are just, our knees are knocking? So therefore, I would say this is something that we must keep on emphasizing. The second thing is that I want to know one thing. People say, no, Modi is preparing. Are you preparing? Then why not say that, yes, we are going to throw the Chinese out, but we are not in a position to do it just now. And we need 2 years. We need 3 years. You can even make it an election plank. Please give us another 5 years, and we will build up sufficiently our army to defeat the Chinese. That is not being done. That should be done. Now the election should be based on this. Besides the economy, it should be based on this principle. Who is going to give you an assurance that you will fight the Chinese and throw them out? And you know the consequences if you manage to throw them out. The consequences are that you will be automatically treated as a world power. You are already a democratic power, but we would have been considered, will be considered as a democratic power. Maybe there will be a coup inside China after Xi Jinping is defeated. So this is the second thing that, and the third thing, of course, I find the Congress Party is still, it's in sixes and sevens, as I say, because the Chinese had a much stronger internal influence in the Congress Party than any other party. We had, of course, some silly people in our BJP who went to China and got themselves into all kinds of embarrassing situations there, and therefore they are blackmailable. But they are not in the power structure. But in the case of China, Ms. Sonia Gandhi in 1995 went to China, and there she came to an understanding, because the Soviet Union collapsed, and so her patrons of the Soviet Union disappeared. So she needed new patrons. So she went there. She had agreements, and then finally Rahul Gandhi went and signed with the then party chief Xi Jinping. Now and in Xi Jinping being present, so Rahul Gandhi signed an agreement which he has to make public. He has not made it public, and we should demand it should be made public. I don't believe the Congress Party can ever fight the Chinese. So therefore, whatever noise they make, let them make the noise. But the fact is that this has to come from within the nationalistic sectors of India, in whichever party they are. Now, I would also say, finally, that if Modi does not do what I'm saying he must do, tell the people, I'm sorry, I told you a lie. The Chinese had come. But now I thought that at that stage I can cool things down and by negotiations make them withdraw. But I'm proved wrong. So now I will redo it. We will fight it. We'll do this. Something like that, we can forgive him. Otherwise, myself as a BJP member, on behalf of the Indians who we feel that we should unite this country, if only of Hindus, but otherwise with all the groups in the country, we should unite. I would say that Modi would be a liability for BJP in the coming elections. And therefore, people who have influence in decision making at the highest level in the BJP should take steps to see that we don't lose our grip and hand over the party to people who will be much worse than us. This is what I would like to say in the present situation. This is a great moral crisis that we are also facing. And it's a shameful thing that we are not able to tell the Chinese that you are aggressors, and therefore we will throw you out when we can throw you out. But for the time being, please go away, close your embassy and go away. We don't want to have anything to do with you. We will bond with countries which don't like you and see that you are this leadership in China has taught a lesson. This is what I would say at the moment. And any discussion on this, we can take forward. And I'll try to reply at the end.
Arvind ji, aap pehle kuch puchna chahte?
Yeah, Dr. Swami, aapne jo China ke pariprekshy mein भारत चीन के संबंध में जो विश्लेषण किया है वो विश्लेषण आपसे बेहतर कोई नहीं कर सकता, ये सारा समुदाय जानता है, मोदी जी भी जानते हैं। लेकिन हम पिछले एक वर्ष में अपने इन कार्यक्रमों में चार बार कम से कम चाइना के बारे में बात कर चुके हैं, और आप जो बात कह रहे हैं एक बड़ी कंसिस्टेंटली जो बात आप कह रहे हैं वो बात लगातार आप उसी पर कायम हैं और मोदी सरकार उस पर ध्यान नहीं दे रही है। तो क्या आपको लगता है मोदी सरकार का लक्ष्य विदेश नीति नहीं है, उनका लक्ष्य 2024 का इलेक्शन है, और शायद उन्हें लगता है कि 2024 के इलेक्शन में जनता के सामने चीन का कोई मुद्दा नहीं है, इसलिए वो इस बात को इग्नोर कर रहे हैं?
जो ये जो भी यहाँ हिंदुस्तान में सोचता है कि चीन की आक्रमण के बारे हिंदुस्तान में किसी को चिंता नहीं है या घृणा नहीं है, वो गलत कह रहे हैं। क्योंकि मैं मिलता हूँ लोगों से, आप तो जानते हैं कि मैं तो हर हफ्ते में 2-3 जगह दौरा करके वहाँ मीटिंग करके आता हूँ। भले अखबारों में प्रतिबंध लगी है हमारी कि मेरी जा भी मैं जाता हूँ उसका होना नीचे, तो हमारे परवाह नहीं। बट सवाल है कि मैं जाकर ये जानकारी प्राप्त करता हूँ कि लोग हमारी अर्थ प्रणाली और चाइना दो ही बात मुझसे करते हैं और इस पर कहते हैं कि हम कहाँ कैसे आगे बढ़े, नंबर वन। नंबर टू, ये मैं पूछने चाहता हूँ कि कौन सी ऐसी बात है जिसके लिए मोदी को ये कहना कि कोई आया नहीं। कि मैं कहता हूँ कि यदि राजनीतिक फ़ायदा उठाना है तो कहना है कि चाइना ने धोखा दे दिया और हमारे देश में 1962 के कारण लोग उसको तुरंत विश्वास कर देते कर लेंगे और कहेंगे कि खतरा हो गया है और मेरी हाथ तुमको मजबूत करो और मैं इनको एक सबक सिखाऊंगा, इस भाषा में बोलते तो उनकी तो जीत निश्चित हो जाती। लेकिन वो बात ही नहीं करने चाहते हैं वो, और इनके जो लोग हैं, जो ऑफिसर्स हैं, जैसे ये जयशंकर हैं, वो झूठ रोज बोलते हैं कि चाइना कहीं नहीं आया। तो मैं ये कहता हूँ कि इसके माने मेरी राय में यही है कि मोदी डरता है कि चाइना कोई खुलासा करेगा जिससे मोदी की प्रतिमा समाप्त हो जाएगी और उसकी जो राजनीतिक जो एक प्रतिमा है वो ध्वस्त हो जाएगी। वही हो सकता, नहीं तो मैं समझ ही नहीं सकता कि इतने अच्छी मौका कि चाइना ने हमें धोखा दिया है। हम उनसे बातचीत कर रहे थे, 18 बार मैं उनसे अकेला बात की और जो उन्होंने कहा उसके विपरीत की, वो स्टैंड लेना चाहिए। और मैं आज ऐसे कर रहा हूँ कि मुझे मैंने 2015 में मोदी ने मुझसे कहा कि ब्रिक्स बनी है, ब्रिक्स का एक बैंक बनने वाला है, उसका आपको अध्यक्ष सारे चाइना रशिया और साउथ अफ्रीका और मेरे कहने पर उन्होंने सारे सहमत हो गए कि आप उसकी पहले अध्यक्ष होनी चाहिए। और अमित शाह मीटिंग बुलाई उनके घर में और मुझसे दस्तखत चाह रहे थे और कह रहे थे प्रधानमंत्री का फोन पर बैठे हैं, अभी बोल दो, कल ऐलान हो जाएगा। मैंने कहा मैं नहीं जाऊंगा क्योंकि मुझे खबर है कि चाइना अब हिंदुस्तान को समझ ली है ये कि हम कुछ सीरियस नहीं है और वो कुछ हमारी नुकसान करेगी, मैं इसमें नहीं जाऊँगा। ये सब जानते हैं, मोदी भी जानता है और मैं तो आप भी जानते हैं कि मैं चाइना कई बार गया हूँ, मैं तो चाइनीज भाषा जानता हूँ, मैं अमेरिका में चाइना का इकोनॉमी पढ़ाता था हार्वर्ड में, तो इतनी सारी जानकारी होते हुए आज भी मेरे कई मित्र हैं वो घुमा फिरा के मुझे सही बात बताते हैं। तो कौन राजनीतिज्ञ हो सकता है जो जब धोखा किसी देश देती है उसको हम उछालते नहीं है, पाकिस्तान में उछालते हैं हम, थोड़ी सी पाकिस्तान का हो जाता पिछले इलेक्शन में नहीं हुआ कि हमने पाकिस्तान को निशाना बना करके चुनाव में जीते, तो इसी प्रकार से यहाँ क्यों नहीं हो रहा है, तो ये है जो मुझे सबसे बड़ा दुख करता। जवाहरलाल नेहरू की भी ये कमजोरी थी और कांग्रेस पार्टी की जो आज के नेतृत्व है उसकी भी यही कमजोरी है, तो हम लोगों को फिर सोचना पड़ेगा जो राष्ट्रवादी लोग हैं कि हम कैसे एक शुद्ध राजनीतिक दल के आधार पर एक देश की सेवा कर सकते हैं।
डॉक्टर स्वामी, आपने ब्रिक्स का जिक्र किया, मेरा प्रश्न ब्रिक्स से संबंधित भी है। क्या आपको लगता है जो ब्रिक्स की अभी हाल में मीटिंग हुई जिसमें चाइना ने एक तरह से प्रपोज किया है कि उसमें ब्रिक्स के सदस्य देशों की संख्या बढ़ाई जाएगी और उसमें जो चाइना के पक्ष में लोग हैं दूसरे देश वो बढ़ जाएंगे, तो भारत को तो वैसे ही अनदेखी कर दिया जाएगा, तो क्या आपको यह भी लगता है कि ब्रिक्स में हम फेल हो चुके हैं?
हम बिल्कुल फेल हो चुके हैं। ये जो हमने मान लिया है कि हम सऊदी अरेबिया को लेंगे, इसको लेंगे, ईरान को लेंगे, ये हमारे दुश्मन नहीं है परंतु वो चाइना के हितैषी हैं। और जब चाइना और हमारे बीच में झगड़ा आएगी तो वो उनके साथ ही रहेंगे।
बिल्कुल,
हमें आपको याद होगा कि 1962 में कोई नहीं हमारे पक्ष में आया था, अमेरिका भी थोड़ा इधर उधर, एक हेलीकॉप्टर दे दिया, एक डकोटा प्लेन दे दिया, यही किया था। तो हम दूसरों को साथ नहीं रखें और हमारी हितैषी के लोगों को हम उनकी सराहना नहीं करते, तो फोर जब आपकी संकट आएगी कौन आपके साथ रहेगा?
Dr. Swami, I just have a few comments to offer and then the question.
Yeah.
There is a saying, the fortune favors the brave. Sadly, Dr. Swami, we are nowhere near that place. I mean, time in and time out from 2014, all we have done is being pussycats. Just show a lot of courage outside, but nothing inside. And the MEA, after this map was published, that's right behind me here, which blatantly says parts of Kashmir are China, occupied entire Arunachal Pradesh, and the way they have expanded this, it took the government 2 days, they took almost 24 hours to react. When they reacted, the external affairs the person, Arindam Bakshi, says, this map puts complications in our discussions about the border dispute. What border is he talking about, Dr. Swami? Is it talking about the post-2014 occupation or is it 1952? Why can't they be so clear in their communication saying that 1952, it's already sealed, right? There is no dispute in the 1952 because they've already agreed. So what is the dispute? Which means they have tacitly they are accepting that China is occupying more and more territory. Number one. And number two, your fantastic foreign minister, external affairs minister, says he is going and begging, saying that India should be a part of the UN Security Council. It doesn't show well, bode well if the UN doesn't give India. Why are you begging? If you don't show courage, you don't show what you stand for, you don't even defend your borders, which country will even take a look at India and give them a Security Council seat? Why would they even accept? They are going to, aren't they going to ask right in your face saying that you don't have the guts to challenge somebody who's occupied thousands of square kilometers of your border, not 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 3-4 years ago. You don't have the guts to face them and kick them back, and now you want a seat in the Security Council? It is shameful, Dr. Swami, that the country is begging for a Security Council, willowing, wallowing, and just waxing and waning about whether they've occupied or not. The Prime Minister has no guts to say that China is occupied. We will kick them out, just as you said. They have not even accepted any of it. And consistently, China has understood that the current government is a weakling. So they are just bullying to the maximum extent possible, consistently bullying, shaming, and putting India down, which is apparent in what we have seen in the past few weeks in the BRICS summit, how Mr. Modi was treated, how he expressed himself that he was not the tall leader 56 inch that he claims to be, Dr. Swami, absolutely, as you said, if you don't stand up, there is no way for us to gain ground. So going back to some of the questions, again, people are asking, Dr. Swami, how do we get the land back?
Okay. First of all, let me say, go back a little on the Security Council. In 1950, John Foster Dulles, who was then the Secretary of State, contacted our ambassador in Washington. Her name was Vijayalakshmi Pandit. For those who don't know, she was the sister of Jawaharlal Nehru, and told her that the Chinese have taken over. The communists have taken over China and illegally created a government. And during the World War, we had decided that the Security Council with a veto will have 5 members, and of which from Asia it will be China of Chiang Kai-shek. That time it was a non-communist China. So when the United Nations started, Chiang Kai-shek's China was the one that was the 5th member. And Roosevelt also had proposed India to be included. But Winston Churchill took the stand in that meeting in 1946, that no, India is a captive of India, is a captive of Britain. It's a colony of India. A colony of, excuse me, Britain, and therefore it cannot be a Security Council member. So on that it was dropped. And so when the communists took over, John Foster Dulles contacted our ambassador, and then she asked, spoke to her brother, and he said, don't get into all these tricks of the Americans. They want us to fight with China, and that's why they are offering this. What is Security Council seat? More important is peace in Asia and all that stuff. And he rebuked her. And this the Americans, of course, didn't agree to give it to China, even after India refused. And as I told you, till 1971-72, the Chinese were not members of the Security Council. They are not members of the United Nations also. So during this time, many others also suggested that even when Khrushchev came to India, their relations had soured with China. They offered it to Nehru, and Nehru said, no, I will not take it. It belongs to China. And in every session of the United Nations General Assembly, the Indian delegate got up and spoke and said the People's Republic of China should be given the Security Council seat. So when you are such a big Tyagis, Tyagis cannot go to war, you see. If you want to go to war, you say, I don't care. People tell me sometimes, oh, if we go to war, our economy will be spoiled and a lot of people will die. If you go to war, it's bound to happen. But do you want to live this way? Did Rana Pratap and Shivaji and all these great fighters that we had, Rani Jhansi, Chennamma in Karnataka, all these people gave up their lives, you see, so that we could become free. Now suddenly you say, no, you know, our economy will be ruined and this and that. So first point is make a resolve, if necessary, get it passed in Parliament, that we will not rest for one day till we get all the land that China has stolen from us. Number one. Number two, having done that, we should start asking ourselves, what is it that we lack in dealing with China? Remember, China is in a disadvantage to us. The Tibet is not a very friendly area. So coming through Tibet is a very big problem. Same thing with the other provinces of that area. So China has a very long supply line, and we can bomb them. In fact, Rajaji had said in 62 to Nehru, bomb you go to fly over Tibet and bomb their supply lines. And everybody afterwards who have written articles have said, if India had done that, China would have been in great difficulty. But if we didn't do, Jawaharlal Nehru was saying farewell to Assam and crying on television, on radio and public meetings. So our problem today is the psyche of the Indian. The psyche of the Indian is that if anybody messes with our country, we will fight. It doesn't matter if it takes 10 years, 20 years, whatever, but we'll fight. And this will raise the eyes, our prestige in the eyes of the people. You will become tomorrow again, you will be invited to the United Nations as a Security Council member with a veto. But you must defeat China. And if you don't defeat, if you give up, if you are lazy and let the Chinese do what they want, then I'm afraid India as a nation will be looked upon as a what I would call as a pariah nation. And that Dr. would Swami. Be a disaster for us.
Thank you, Dr. Swami. One last comment, Dr. because Swami. I see some comments coming in. Jagdishji, 1 second. Last thing. People are saying, oh, Indian army armed forces are not ready for the war, so we should not go now. What kind of a nonsense kind of an argument is this, Dr. Swami? I mean, absolute cowards talk like this. Seriously. I mean, they don't have confidence in the Indian army that have won so many wars. They're so brave. You just don't need only armaments. All you need is a strategy, as you've mentioned many times. You have the manpower to fight. You need the hardware to fight. You align with the right people. Across the globe, China has been looked on not in a very favorable way. So there are many countries who will come and help you out. Even with the situation happening in Taiwan and on this map, why can't you align and ask help? Reach out to the right people and you're going to get help, because all you need is hardware. And saying, oh, we need time for army to be prepared is a shame. The army doesn't expect you to say this for them. They are much more brave than what these idiots sitting in armchairs and complaining and saying that, oh, we should have more time for the army to get ready. It is just shocking that this entire country has just become a kind of type stuff.
Jagdish, can I answer that before you come in to you?
Yes.
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. This is, whoever says that is either being brainwashed by some foreign agent belonging to the Chinese or the Pakistanis and don't want us to fight, because if we manage to fight, then of course we are bound to win, because everything is in our favor. If you don't have weapons, then there are countries, I can tell you, which will give it to you happily. Look at Ukraine. I mean,
Ukraine, exactly.
Mm-hmm. They are giving a hell to the Russians, you see. Now they are having drones into Moscow, you see, and bombing the hell out of those places. So you have to show that bravery. Look at the Indians who went and, I'll tell you, World War II was won not by the Allies. It was won by the Indian soldiers who went and fight. And you go to France, you go to Germany, you see, if you go in the registers and see who are the people died, you'll see a long list of Indians. The Indians were sent first by the British. And then only the British troops went after behind them. So the Indians went to Africa. They went. The Indians have demonstrated themselves so many times. We won the war in Kashmir in 1948. We won the war in 1967 when in the Sikkim area when we defeated the Chinese. We won it in 1989 when Rajiv Gandhi was ruling at that time. The Sumdurung Chu in Arunachal area. We gave them a thrashing. The Chinese a thrashing. Why this self confidence is being eroded? Who is the forces which are acting? We are very brave people. We have a history. We are the only country which was not defeated by Islam. We are the only country which was not defeated by the Christians. We have managed to remain as an 80% Hindu population despite all the attacks that have been against us. So I think whoever says, no, we are not in a position, I would say that they have been either brainwashed or programmed, or they are acting on behalf of some foreign power. Yes, Jagdish.
Dr. Swami, my question, basically it's more of a comment. I wish to, because there is a lot of bhakti and bhajans going on without any realizing whether they are patriots. Number one, before the elections, Mr. Modi and Amit Shah, before the 2014 May election results came, Modi and Amit Shah were saying that China should be taught a lesson for coming and doing picnic at our border. There are part of video, there are part of statements as late as April 2014. Once they are in power, now their bhakts, a few selected bhakts, keep giving us big, big jargons that nobody has come into our proper territory. But what is the border meetings taking place? It is regarding the LAC. As everybody knows, there was a border dispute of 1962, earlier to 1962. Some land, a large tract of land and Aksai Chin was lost. But the present dispute on the border, military level talks, is basically the LAC talks. If Mr. Modi and his bucks, as they get very, very sensitive when you raise this issue, they say that no land has been captured. If no land has been captured beyond the LAC, what is this meeting taking place for? What is this discussion which is happening, and what is the concern India is expressing? So this is a clear message to all these bhakts of Modi who are only doing bhajan. And when, and I can understand, Dr. Swami, why Nehru also had that mindset and he conceded that land to China in the 50s and 60s, the same mindset of few bucks doing bhajan and not bothered about the land being captured by China, but only singing praises of Modi, is a very dangerous trend in democratic India. As you have rightly pointed out, our Indian army is capable of doing local combat and winning at the border. And if we do our right political alliances on other countries, we will get the best of weapons. But what is more dangerous is incapable leaders and a few bucks which spread canards about the 56 inches chest of the leader. This is basically my comment, which I wanted to make for the benefit of the viewers, especially those who are singing bhajans without any background, knowing the background.
Okay, knockout blow. Arvind?
Yeah, Dr. Swami, you have very recently made a very good suggestion about Tibet and Taiwan.
Yes.
Now, this is that we should recognize, in, of course, it will irritate China, no end. But why can't, when China is showing the map, Arunachal is part of their map and so on and so forth, that is also irritating India. Our external affairs minister is openly admitting that we are weaker than China, therefore we cannot fight, as Ramesh just now mentioned. And taking Jagdish's questions further, what has government of India done so far? I mean, if you are making a suggestion about Taiwan, they're not paying heed to this suggestion. What about Tibet? I mean, there are many issues on which we can irritate China and force them to toe our line. But we are unable to do that. Are we scared? You have very recently said some majburi. Now, what is this majburi? What is this majburi government of India, Mr. Modi, should come out with?
Well, this majburi will have to await different circumstances. But I would say this, that unless you're being blackmailed by the Chinese, you will not behave like this. If I was to see Xi Jinping, I will not go and shake hands with him. Because I will say, and I, you know, for me, I know China so well that I think, you know, it's very painful. I don't think that even the Chinese people, as a people, are in favor of tangling with India. But the fact of the matter is that why are we having conferences with him? Why are you feeling sad that Xi Jinping is not ready to come to Delhi now? How many people have gone to try and persuade him to come? Why? So therefore, there is some concern that if you get on the, you know, if we irritate them beyond a point, they may come out with something which will put you in a difficulty. But I would say, therefore, with this hanging on the atmosphere, the question that you raised, I think our people in the party should tell Mr. Modi that if you are not prepared to go to war with China and liberate the land which you have lost and make an announcement before the election, then he should not be a candidate for Prime Minister. Our party should say, I will not tolerate anybody else telling this from outside the party. But our party people all work very hard. This Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh Karyakartas work like the devil when it comes to elections. Now all this, and then we sing about our nationalism and so on. One of the digression, I am fighting the BJP in three states to release release the temples which they have taken over. Of course, in Uttarakhand, I got it, carte blanche, everything removed. And all the 104 temples of Uttarakhand were taken over by the government on the orders of the Mr. Prime Minister. And I had to go to court. And when I said I would go to court, the Chamchas said that the Swami, if he goes to Uttarakhand, he will not come back alive. That is the kind of threats that they'd given me, because I won the case and the matter is over. Now I'm finding the same thing in Maharashtra. You know, we have taken over in perpetuity. The order says that the Maharashtra government has taken over the entire temple and its religious activities in perpetuity. So what I'm saying is that if we are BJP and we stand for Hindutva, we stand for nationalism, then we have to show by action. And if you don't, then there's something wrong with you. And then you should step aside. I would say the reasons that you have asked for, we can wait for better times to write a book. But as of now, it would be traitorous if you do not fight the Chinese, defeat them, and take back our land.
Swami, one last point again, before Arvind can conclude.
Yeah.
Again, people, I'm telling you, there are again comments coming in. Stop making excuses that we cannot go to war now. A lot of them are selfish people, Doctor. They're afraid, oh, something will happen to the economy.
Economy always improves in a war, by the way. There's example.
The kind of excuses people show on comments is just shocking, that, oh, we should not go to war. We are not ready. We can do posturing. What kind of nonsense is this, Dr. Swami? When your country is being occupied and attacked consistently, this kind of cowardice, why has India become such cowards, Dr. Swami? All this buck population have become cowards, essentially. Seriously, this entire buck population of Modi that has perpetuated, he has done, is make them cowards and zombies and just following him and all these things that he has done. It's a shame that they're saying this for their country. I mean, it is shocking. America, for that matter, Dr. Swami, they attacked one building. We destroyed an entire country. See, you have to show your might. You push back, people respect you. If they don't, you never get respect in any stage. Why would Xi come to Delhi, Dr. Swami, if you are not showing that you have the guts, right? If you had shown that you had the guts and you had confronted him in BRICS, you confronted him in many places, if Xi didn't come, it would be a shame on him. But instead, you're consistently showing you're weak. And he's just stomping on you more, saying that who's going to come to your stupid meeting? That is the way that he said. That is exactly what, and there is, this is not a show of strength. It's a shame on Modi that Xi is not coming. I am doubtful if Biden will come, because if like Putin is not there, Xi is not there, I mean, why would Biden come? I mean, he's a senile guy, but anyway, at the end of the day, you never know. But there is a good chance that Biden might not come. And then what is this G20 then? Flexing all those muscles. It's just a waste of time. So, Arvind Ji. Sorry, I just wanted to say, saying that, you know, cowardice is not, the fortune favors only the brave. Sorry about it. This is crazy to say, oh, we should watch and wait and do what we want to do. We've watched and waited for too long. Arvindji, concludes it. Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Swami. This issue of China and our government not taking any action against China, despite of the fact that limited media has also exposed this, and from other sources also it has been established by now that China has occupied our territory, and the government of India is totally silent on this issue. Your suggestion that government should come out with the majboori, we know that they will not. The government of India has been increasing the trade with China. Exports have gone up, imports have gone up tremendously over the last few years, despite the fact. And what action has government of India taken? They have banned TikTok and 50 applications. I mean, this is the kind of action government of India is taking against China's tension, whereas our MEA minister also says very clearly that there is a tension. Dr. Swami, this topic, as I said earlier, we have discussed 4 times in last 1 year, but government of India has not acted. But you are the only one who has been consistently raising this issue. Surprisingly, now the Dotted India Alliance has also started mentioning some of the leaders taking clue from you. You are raising this issue within the party and also ready to provide a solution, provided government of India is willing to listen. Thank you very much, Dr. Swami, for bringing this issue once again. As all Rashtrabadi, all nationalist people are concerned about this issue, that China is occupying the territory and we are not doing anything. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ramesh. Thank you, Jagdish, for anchoring this program for such a long time and increasing the viewership over a period of time. And credit also goes to our technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Swaminathan, Tejas Naval Gul, Vishal Mehta, Najesh Nair. Like this, we will be bringing you another topic on 10th of September, next Sunday, 8 p.m. Indian Standard Time with Dr. Subramanian Swami and others. Thank you, viewers. Till then, Namaskar, Jai Hind.
Jai Hind.